All right. Hello, everyone. This is Reverend Dr. Roger Paul, and tonight we are going to start at the very beginning of the foreword, and that starts on page 1001 in your
handbook. Number one.
It's kind of hard not to find it. All right, so we'll say a little prayer and we'll get started. Father, thank you for bringing us together again tonight. And we pray that you'll watch over this group tonight and open our hearts and minds that we might learn something and keep me clear and make sure that I try to make it as simple as possible. This is hard information to understand. And we don't presume anything by adding pictures to your wonderful revelation. We're just trying to make it clear for everyone to understand. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for your blessings and thank you for being with us. We say this in the name of your son, Michael, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, let's start on the forward. Paragraph one. Now, y'all, let me tell the folks at home, too, this is a little bit different format than the way I've recorded the rest of the book, the first time through the book, because instead of just using the slides with one paragraph at a time, I've actually put a version of the book together with the pictures in the book, okay? And this can be found on our website. Let me show you the picture of that.
That's cool.
It's on our website on the left-hand side. If you go to the very top of the left-hand side, you'll see study versions. And this page will come up, and under the one that says, I have the blue one. There's a white one and a blue one, but it says BI for Illustrated Urantia Book Standardized. Okay? And if you click that, it'll look like this. And as you scroll through the paper, you'll see pictures all the way through it that are what I'm trying to do is have illustrations of what we're talking about. And these were real handy when we did the 11-week course of the pre-forward. So a lot of these came from that, and that's what we're going to see tonight. And I'm going to explain each and every picture along with the paragraphs. Now, let me tell y'all, I did not create all these pictures. I want to say this at the very beginning. Some of them I did, and some of them I tweaked to correct because they had some errors in it. But a lot of them came from Don Estes's chart of the universe reality. Okay? The others came from Encyclopedia Urantia. A gentleman with Encyclopedia Urantia gave us permission to use these pictures 7 years ago, and we're still using them. So that's where a lot of these pictures came from. So the Don Estes and Encyclopedia Urantia both. So that being said, here we go. In the minds of mortals of Urantia, that being the name of your world, there exists great confusion respecting the meanings of such terms as God, divinity, and deity. Human beings are still more confused and uncertain about the relationships of the divine personalities designated by these numerous appellations because of the conceptual poverty associated with so much ideational confusion. I have been directed to formulate this introduction statement in explanation of the meanings which should be attached to certain world symbols as they may hereafter used in those papers which the Irvantan Corps of Truth Revealers have been authorized to translate into the English language of Urantia. I'm going to start at the beginning of the bottom of this paragraph and go up.
Yeah, what?
Let me tell you what the Irvantan Corps of Truth Revealers are. First, you need to understand that to understand what he's talking about, right? Uversa is our local, Uversa is our seventh super universe capital, okay? They are the governing body of the seventh super universe. All right, so this Irvantan Corps of Truth Revealers were assigned by the celestial authorities, who would be whom? The Ancients of Days, right? So they were assigned to put this forward together. They were also assigned to put together the first quarter of the paper, all right? The very first part of the paper, the whole first part. Now, another group was assigned to do the second, third, and the fourth part, okay? But the Zurvatan core of truth revealers are the highest available personnel to know the meanings of the things we're trying to explain here, okay? So they're trying to bring it down to human level, and we pea-brain mortals have to bring it way down. Okay, because they just say it and they assume we're going to know what they're talking about, right? Yeah. So what we're going to try to do is bring it down to a level that everyone can understand tonight. And I'm not assuming that I know everything or anything. I don't want anybody to get that idea. What we're trying to do is break this down to make it understandable for us so we can understand it. All right? So it's this Zurvatan core of truth revealers that are talking to us through this whole forward, okay? And this is what they have to say. They say, Roger, yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's all right.
But you never explained. Zurvatan is the name of our super universe.
That's right. Zurvatan is the seventh super universe. Thanks for catching that, Rodney. The seventh super universe name is Zurvatan. We're going to see a picture of that in a little bit. Not very far off tonight. Okay, so that's the highest authority that can teach us this information. Okay, so let's start out with the first sentence here. All right, they say, in the minds of mortals, Rancha, that being the name of your world, there exists great confusion respecting the meaning of terms such as God, divinity, and deity. Okay, so because there's so much confusion in our planet about these concepts, what is God, what is deity, what is divinity, and what's the difference between the three, right? We use all these terms interchangeably, but in reality, to the rest of the super universe, they're not used interchangeably so easily, right? So they have separate meanings for terms of God, terms of divinity, and terms of deity. And
Roger,
so, yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt you again.
That's okay.
But it's similar to the South down here.
Uh-huh.
All beverages, carbonated beverages, Cokes.
Right. Yeah. And up north, what do they call them? They call it pop. Right? Yeah, that's right. That's right. So what they're trying to do is give us a baseline of information concerning these terms of God, divinity, and deity, right? And then they go on to tell us we're even more confused about divine personalities that they're going to tell us about, and these numerous appellations or these numerous roles that these divine personalities take. Okay, so because of this confusion, that's why they're putting the statement together, right? And they go on the next sentence column saying that we have what? Conceptual poverty associated with so much ideational confusion. So we really don't know what we're talking about, right? And so they've been directed to formulate this introductory statement, that's what the forward is, right? To explain the meanings of things which they're going to talk about and meanings that are attached to the word symbols they're using throughout this book so that we can understand it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So we're good on the first paragraph there, right? We're not confused yet, right? All right. Let's go on to the next one. Who do you want to have? Do you want to go first? Then?
Okay. All right. It is exceedingly difficult to present enlarged concepts and advanced truths in our endeavor to expand cosmic consciousness and enhance spiritual perception when we are restricted to the use of a circumscribed language of the realm. But our mandate admonishes us to make every effort to convey our meanings by using the word symbols of the English tongue. We have been instructed to introduce new terms only when the concept to be portrayed finds no terminology in English which can be employed to convey such a new concept, partially or even with more or less distortion of meaning. I'm really glad it was done in English and not French. Or
yeah, really. So what are they saying here? They're saying, telling us that they're going to try to tell us all this stuff in English, right? But most of the stuff they need to tell us, we don't have terms for. And we don't even have word symbols for. So in that those cases, they're going to give us new terms. And so when we start talking about absolute and absonite and all these other words that we've never heard of, it's because we don't have conceptual words that they can use. Okay, so you can see how difficult this is for them to put this in English for things that we don't even have concepts for, right? All right, and that's where we're at. Okay, so who's next?
So basically, we're expanding our English vocabulary.
We're expanding our vocabulary, especially in this forward, right? Mm-hmm. And the reason they're doing it in this forward, so that when we get to it, to the book, we'll have a reference point of what they're talking about. Because without this information, we'll have no idea what they're talking about as we go through the book, right? Okay, so that's why it's important to understand this forward. All right. Let's see. Stephen, would you take the next paragraph, please?
Okay. In the hope of facilitating comprehension and of preventing confusion on the part of every mortal who may peruse these papers, we deem it wise to present in this initial statement an outline of the meaning to be attached to numerous English words which are to be employed in designation of deity and certain associated concept of the things, meanings, and values of universal reality.
There's that things, meanings, and values again. Remember, as we was going through the book, this kept cropping up over and over and over, right? Okay, so this is the way they can, by doing it the way they did it in this forward, it tries to attach concepts to English words so that we can understand what they're talking about when they're talking about certain aspects of deity, right? Because our concept of deity is what? Just God. Deity is God, right, to us. So they're going to break this concept of deity down into multiple facets and multiple levels, right? And when they're done doing this, we're going to have associated concepts of things, meanings, and values, which are associated with all the reality of the universe. Okay? So they're going to try to make it so that everything fits together. Right? All right. Millie, would you take the next one, please?
Yes. But in order to formulate this forward of definitions and limitations of terminology, it's necessary to anticipate the usage of these terms in the subsequent presentations. This forward is not, therefore, a finished statement within itself. It's only a definitive guide designed to assist those who shall read the accompanying papers dealing with deity and the universe of universes, which have been formulated by the Orvantum Commission sent to Urantia for this purpose.
Okay. The Orvantum Commission sent to Urantia for this purpose. What are they talking about? They're talking about the revealing commission, right, that was in Chicago, right, when these papers came through. Okay, so what they're telling us in this paragraph, in order for us to put this forward together of definitions and terminology, they have to anticipate what all these teachers throughout the whole book or all the papers that's coming are going to use them for, right? So what they're telling us is this. As we go through the book and as we learn the book, we can refer back to this as a guide as to what the meanings they're talking about when you read something. So when you come upon God the Father and they talk about God the Father being part of deity, you can look back in this forward and see what they're talking about when it says God the Father and deity, right? And that's what this is for. It's kind of a reference, All right. And then they go on to tell us it's not a finished statement. It's only a guide to help us out when we read the papers to understand it better. Now, the interesting thing is this. By the time you start using this guide, most people will have read the book once and many times before they ever get to the foreword, don't they? Because it's so hard to understand. So that's because we're using the foreword in the wrong format, right? It should be a guide, not just the foreword standing on itself. So hopefully by the time we get through this time, we'll have a pretty good grasp of what we're talking about in the foreword, just like we had a pretty good grasp after the 11-week program. Right? Okay, and that's what was preparing us for this forward. Okay, so.
Let me ask you something.
Yes.
This has been formulated by an Orvantan commission sent to Urantia. Now, you say this commission is the group of people in Chicago?
No, it was sent to the group of people in Chicago, Millie. This Orvantan commission is celestial beings, right, from Uversa. And they were
sent to Urantia to inform these people.
Yes.
They wrote the papers?
Yeah.
This person who wrote the papers.
Well, the group of people that were involved in the
receiving the papers.
Yeah, receiving the papers. That's right. So their commission was sent to Urantia just for this purpose, not only for the forward, but what else? For the whole first section of the book, right? Yes. And the next section was another group of beings that were sent for that purpose. And all these beings, we have to remember, were the highest authority on this information that they could send us, right? If you want to think of it like this. You ever watch Ancient Aliens? And they keep talking about these aliens coming down and trying to teach us things?
Yes.
You ever see that?
Yes.
This is the aliens, okay? This is the group of intelligent beings that have come down to try to reveal truth to us in the best possible way they can. Okay, does that make sense? You know,
but how did they send this to them? Do we have any idea of that? How did they send the paperwork to them?
That is a whole book in itself.
Okay.
Yeah, that's if you really want to.
We have
a book on that. What's the name of that? The History of the Urantia Papers, I believe it is. It's written by. Y'all, hang on a second. I'll tell you. Okay. We have that book. You can buy it somewhere.
I used to have a copy. It was a white book.
Yes, it was.
The cover was white. Okay. And that's where they say, "Oh, we didn't change it. We did not change it. We were told not. We did not change it. Oh well, maybe we changed just a little bit.
Okay,
just a little bit.
This is written by Larry Mullins, and it's got a foreword by Meredith Sprunger. And if you can see this through his, it may be backwards. That's it, right there.
It's a history of the
Urantia Papers. Okay. And this in itself is a book within itself, okay? This is the book about the book, okay? How the book got here. And you can pick that up. There's a link at the very top corner of our website. You can click on it and you can order these online. All right? So, very interesting read, the history of the Urantia Papers. Okay. I messed up my focus here. There it goes. Okay, so this is exactly what they're talking about, though. This commission was sent to reveal these papers to us to what? Enlighten us and give us truth. All right. Now, the interesting part about this is this. They did not say that they were backing up the Bible, did they? They did not say they were backing up the church, either the Catholic Church, the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, the Muslims, anybody. They didn't say that at all because they said that this book was for all religions and all people, not just one religion, right? Not just Christianity. Y'all got that? even though it's got the entire life of Christ, it's not just for Christians. Okay?
It's just revealing the truth.
It's just revealing the truth. That's right.
As of what's out there, of everything.
Yeah, of everything. That's exactly right. So if you get somebody that gets up in front of you and tells you that this church or everything, this book is only based on our church, you know what my favorite word would be?
What's that?
Humbug.
Liar. All right.
It's not true.
It's not true. It's for everybody. That's right. I used to have an instructor when I was in pre-med. That was his favorite word. You see, if somebody tells you such and such, you know what you say to him? Liar! So,
anyway. How rude.
Yes. Okay. So that's why this forward was revealed to us by this commission that was sent to us. Okay. All right. So let's go on to the next one.
Roger. It's interesting that it's sent to everybody, but the first printing of it includes the papers, Life and Times of Jesus.
Life and the Times of Jesus. And why would that be, Millie? It's because
it came to the United States, which is mostly wrapped up in the life and teachings of Jesus.
Well, I really think it was because Jesus was our Creator Son.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't learn about the universe unless you learn about the Creator Son.
Well, the papers could have come to Germany or Italy.
Yeah.
Or Russia. Could.
Yeah.
Or Argentina.
Why did
it come to the United States? Are we so free that we can express different opinions than other countries can?
Maybe so. That could very well be it, right?
Well, I know that the people that run this organization do have the book translated in other languages.
Well, I'll tell you what, I often wondered why they didn't reveal it first to the yellow race, because they're much more intelligent than most of the white race,
That's true.
So, it's just they had their own reasoning for doing it, I guess. So, okay, let's go on.
Next time they contact us, we'll ask them.
That's right.
Well, maybe it's because China may have persecuted people for putting it out, whereas we wouldn't in the United States.
Yeah, we're pretty free with our religious liberties here. We really are, as it should be. Okay.
They're pretty restrictive in China.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go on. Rodney, would you take the next one, please?
Okay. Your world, Urantia, is one of many similar inhabited planets which comprise the local universe of Nebadon. This universe, together with similar creations, makes up the super universe of Orvantan, from whose capital, Uversa, our commission hails. Orvantan is one of the seven evolutionary super universes of time and space, which circle the never beginning, never ending creation of divine perfection, the central universe of Havana. At the heart of this eternal and central universe is the stationary Isle of Paradise, the geographic center of infinity and the dwelling place of the eternal God.
All right. Now I have a picture of this, which I can help explain this better from the picture than I can just the paragraph, right? Okay, so if we look at this picture, they say right here, let me see if I can get down here to the typing on this. Well, I either get the typing or I cut off the picture, don't I? Okay, we'll do it this way. Your world, Urantia, all right, is one of, hang on, I'm sorry, y'all. Similar inhabited planets which comprise the local universe of, together with similar creations. Okay, so if we look at this picture, what do we have? We have Uversa in the center. You see that big orange ball? And surrounded is the satellites of Uversa, and we're going to study it this in depth later on. But Uversa And the major and minor sector you see on this slide is part of the super universe of Ervantan, right? One of seven. Okay? Now, our planet is one of these planets within the U major the fourth. You see this little planet down here? This really is not a planet. It should be something other than looking like a planet, because it entails thousands and thousands and thousands of planets. Okay? So our local universe of Nebadon, which Christ created, which Michael created, is within this U major the fourth, right? And that is within this U major the fifth. And that is within the seventh super universe. So these things fit inside each other. Okay? And our planet is only one planet in all these things, within all these things. You're talking about one of a thousand in our local universe. Now, to get a better concept of this, we're going to go on to the next paragraph and get a better overall picture of who we are and where we are here. So, I'm up next, right? The seven evolving universes in association with the central and divine universe, we commonly refer to as the grand universe. These are the now organized and inhabited creations and are part of the master universe, which also embraces the uninhabited but mobilizing universes of time and space. Okay, so let me explain what this is. This picture is the master universe, all of this together, right? The grand universe they're talking about entails paradise, the satellites that surround paradise, the seven rings of a billion worlds of Havona, the inner gravity body and the outer gravity body, and on the outside of that is the seven super universes. Okay? And that's the grand universe. And the grand, Roger, yeah.
That's the master universe. All of this is.
But let me finish. The grand universe fits inside the master universe. That was the point I was trying to make. Okay? So if we read this paragraph here up here, let's go back here. It says, the seven evolving super universes. That's these here. You see these? I got my mouse on. The seven evolving super universes, in association with the central and divine universe. The central and divine universe is paradise down here, the seven rings of Havona, and the billion worlds of Havona. Okay? These are organized into creations and inhabited creations, and they call that, you see this right here? The grand universe. The grand universe sits inside the four outer space levels. You see that? So if you include the four outer space levels, that's the master universe. Okay? And they break this down so that we understand when they're talking about something, whether they're talking about the grand universe in here or the master universe, which includes the four outer space levels. That's why it's broken down that way. Now, the only universes that are inhabited right now are what? The grand universe. Okay? The master universe is not totally inhabited yet. Right?
Now, with the
are those planets, universes?
Are you talking about these little
in the outer space?
In the outer space? No, these are universes of the size of about Ervantan or our universe, okay? But they're multiplied hundreds of thousands of times. There's only seven of these super universes in the grand universe, right?
And then move to the outer space.
When you remove the first outer space level, I think there's 21,000 of these, right?
21,000 super universes?
Super universes, right. And then you go out to the next one that's multiplied by seven more. Seven times seven, right? And or seven times seven times seven. And it keeps going on. So by the time you get out to the last one, you have super universes. They're up in the thousands and thousands and thousands, right? Now, an interesting point about this is this. We're going to see this in a picture to come, but we're in, let me not get ahead of myself. I'm going to get ahead of myself if I'm not very careful here.
That's okay.
This is a picture of the clockwise movement of paradise and the satellites. Well, this not paradise, I'm sorry. No. It's not the clockwise movement of paradise. Paradise is stationary. It does not move. Okay? But there's three rings of seven satellites that surround paradise that move in a clockwise manner. Okay? Also, the seven rings of Havona, that's what these are supposed to be, work. They also move in a clockwise manner. Okay, so paradise is stationary. The three satellite rings that surround paradise move clockwise. And then the seven rings of planets, that's Havona, that's a billion worlds of Havona, also move clockwise. Now, why is this important? I'm going to show you here. We go down to the next slide. You're going to notice here that this is paradise in the center. You see that? And then you have the seven planets, the three rings that surround paradise, and they're moving clockwise, right? Now, when you get to Havona, it's moving clockwise also, but the very first, and this is hard to see because it's so small, but the first dark gravity belt line moves counterclockwise. Do you see that? What do you think that is? Because it helps balance gravity. It's the gravity of paradise. Okay? And then you go to the outer gravity dark bodies, and that moves what? Clockwise again. So you have Havona moving clockwise, the first ring of dark gravity moving counterclockwise, and then the next ring, or the outer bodies, moving clockwise again. Okay, so they balance each other out. Now the interesting part is this. The seven super universes move counterclockwise. Okay, and we're in the seventh super universe out here on the very edge. Okay, since we're out on the very edge, when we look at, I'm going to go back up to another picture here. Since we're out on the very edge, this is the seventh super universe. We're right here. Because we're on that very edge, we can see out from our location in space to the very first outer space ring. Okay? And because our telescopes can look out into that first outer space ring, we can see developing super universes everywhere out there. Okay? So when our telescopes are pointed out to the very first outer space levels, we see thousands upon thousands upon thousands of developing planets and universes. You know all these nebula we see out there? That's what this is. Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You think about it. And it's just because we're right here on the edge of the seventh super universe, so far out that we can actually see this stuff. If we were on the other side of the seven super universe, we couldn't see any of it. Because we'd have to look through what? Our own seventh super universe and all the planets to be able to get out there, and we wouldn't see any of it. It's too big. You follow me?
Why are we looking at the outer ring when we could be just examining other universes in our super universe?
Well, in another million years, when this seventh super universe makes its own revelatory turn, that's exactly what we'll be looking at, Millie. We'll be looking inward instead of outward. Okay? Because right now, let me show you the next slide. Right now, the seventh super universe, it looks like this. If this is paradise and this is the seven super universes, we're in right here in number seven, okay? And the position we're in right now, number seven is making the turn and heading due north. See this little picture up here? It says north that way. So north is to the left, south is to the right, okay? The reason he did this in this format is so that you could see the seven super universes in the proper format. So when they explain to us the seven super universes is making the swing, just beginning the pathway due northward. It's right here. It's going up that way because it's going this way, right? It's going counterclockwise. That makes sense? You can see why I put these slides in here. It says right here in this slide, it says, in this age, as direction is regarded on Urantia, universe number one swings almost due north. Okay, let's look at this picture. Universe number one is right at the very top. You see that? Universe number one? Can you see my mouse on that, y'all?
Yes.
Okay. Then it goes on to tell us, approximately opposite in the easterly direction to the paradise residence, the great source and sinners, the central universe of Havona. All right. This position with the corresponding one to the west represents the nearest physical approach to the spheres of time, to the eternal isle. So number one is the closest approximation to paradise right now. Okay.
So that's not a circle,
it's an oblong, it's an oval. That's right. That's why he drew it out this way with north to the left. Okay. Super universe number two is in the north, preparing the westward swing. So it's all the way north, preparing to swing westward this way. You see that?
Yes. Okay.
Number three now bends in the northernmost segment of the gray space path, having already turned the bend leading towards the southerly plunge. So number three is heading its pathway down to the south plunge. You see that? So that means we're heading north. Number three is heading south, just opposite of us, right? Okay.
Roger?
Yes.
What is between two and three?
Space. There's a big...
Oh, this little thing?
It's just showing developing space in there, that little circle. Yeah, it's just... He was trying to make it pretty, you know?
Okay.
This space, these lines between this is quiet space zone between each one of them. Now, why can't we see this? Okay. I'm going to explain this to you. You can take your telescope, and if you point it, we're right out here. You see where my mouse is? We're on the very edge. We can look out that out the direction, which would be south, right? We can look out south and see tons and tons and tons of developing universes, right? The problem is this. If we try to look towards paradise, we have to look all the way through our own super universe, and there's billions and billions of planets in the way. Okay? So we can't see that far into paradise. We also can't see super universe number one or super universe number two. Number one, there's a large void between the two, and if we did see them, we're on the plane that all the planets would be superimposed on each other. Right? So we wouldn't even recognize the void between the two super universes. You see what I'm saying? It's a positional thing. You can only be in one position at a time. And we're not going to make this turn in our lifetime far enough to be able to make any difference, right? So they show us this and tell us this so that we have a basic understanding of the makeup of the grand universe and the master universe. So what this picture is the grand universe less what? The three paradise rings of the seven satellites and the Havona rings plus what? Right inside all these seven super universes is the outer space, the dark outer space bodies, and right on the other side of it is the inner dark outer space bodies, right? And all of this has to do with gravity balance, okay? Does that make sense?
Oh, okay.
Got questions? Now's the time to ask them about your position in space. So, any questions about any of this? Does these pictures help you grasp the concept of what they're trying to explain to us?
Yes.
Yeah,
it does.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So it was worth putting them in there then, right?
Yes, it was.
And knowing these how these belts are set up, it helps us to understand when they start talking about space respiration and gravity balance and all this other stuff. If you can look at this picture, it makes a lot more sense to us because we're visual people. You know, we can see something. It gives us a little bit better concept of what we're talking about, right? Now, is this a perfect illustration of what this really is? No. It's just an illustration to kind of tell us how the universe makeup is made, right? Okay. All right. So we got through one whole section. I'm kind of surprised we got through that. All right. Y'all want to go on and spend 10 more minutes and try to get a little bit more?
Sure.
Okay. Let's go on to deity and divinity. There's very, very much associated with this. All right. Let's see. Diane, would you take the first little paragraph?
The universe of universes presents the phenomena of deity activities on diverse levels of cosmic realities, mind meanings, and spirit values. But all of these ministrations, personal or otherwise, are divinely coordinated.
Okay. What are they saying here first? I'm going to break down all this if it's okay with y'all because I want everybody to understand everything. It's talking about the phenomena of deity activities. What is that? That's the activities of all forms of deity. And deity comes in several forms. Okay? So what they're trying to tell us about is the activities of different types of deity on very many, many levels of what do they say? Cosmic reality, mind meanings, and spirit values. So this activity of deity, some of it affects all of the cosmos, all the reality of the cosmos. Some of it affects only mind meanings. What would mind meanings be? That would be that associated with the infinite spirit, right? Human mind, celestial mind, spiritual mind, right? Okay, mind meanings, that would be the deity activity of the infinite spirit on this level, right? Okay, and then we have spirit values, right? Who do we think of when we say spirit anything? We think of the eternal sun, right? The eternal sun is where from all spirit reality comes from, right? So when we read this again, it tells us what? We have universe of universes that have deity phenomena of deity activities on many, many levels of cosmic realities, both what? Finite, spiritual, absonite, and absolute. We're going to talk about absonite and absolute a little bit later, okay, probably next time. But what it's saying here is there's deity activities on all these levels. Some of them are cosmic reality. Some of them are mind meanings having to do with the infinite spirit, right? And some of them are spirit related or spirit values having to do with the infinite, with the sun, right? All right.
We don't know that because we haven't read the book yet.
That's right. But they're trying to explain.
That's why this is so confusing. You don't know that this mind meanings comes from the spirit and the spirit values comes from the sun because you haven't read the book yet.
That's right. So, but that's why we're explaining it this way to prepare us for that, right? Because we have read the book now, right? And I've read the book many, many times, so I understand why it's saying. And that's why we're trying to explain it. Okay. Then it goes on to say, let's not forget the second half of this sentence. But these ministrations or these movements of deity, right, can be personal or otherwise are divinely coordinated. So these activities can be either personal or non-personal. Either way, they are still divinely coordinated by a deity. Okay? And we're going to find out about the personal and all that a little bit later in this section, right? So we'll come back to that probably in a minute. Well, we won't have time tonight, but we will beat that to death too. All right? So let's go to the next paragraph. Stephen, would you take the next one?
All right. Deity is personalizable as God is personal and superpersonal and
pre-personal
and superpersonal in ways not altogether comprehensible by men. Deity is characterized by the quality of unity, actual or potential, on all supermaterial levels of reality. And this unifying quality is best comprehended by creatures as divinity.
Okay. Now they've hit us with deity, and now they bring in divinity, something that is divine, right? Let's start at the very top of this. If you did not have someone explain this to you, this paragraph can seem like gobbledygook to you. Matter of fact, I read a critic once about the Urantia book, and he pulled this very paragraph out and said, if this is not gobbledygook, I don't know what is. Okay. Mm. So I'm going to ungodlygoop it. Okay. I'm going to try to anyway. All right. How is deity personalizable as God? Okay, we know from reading the book, this is why it's important to refer back to this. We know from reading the book that personality is a gift of whom?
God.
God the Father, right? So, the thought adjuster that's a fragment of God is given to us at about 5.5 years old. It's a piece of God, right? So we have two different things here, right? We have personalizable as God, because God gives us personality, right? And then we have pre-personal, which is the Father fragment that is given to us so that our personality, as it develops over time, merges with that pre-personal fragment to personalize that fragment, right? So we have two parts right there. The personalizable part of God, which is given to us as a gift, right? And then the pre-personal part of God, which is given to us as the thought adjuster. And when those come together, it becomes what?
Super personal.
That's right, because it started as a personable fragment and comes in as a pre-personable fragment, and when they come together, they become super personable, and a new creature is created. You see that?
So, Roger.
Yeah.
I'm trying to follow along there. You say when they come together. What do
when you fuse. When you fuse,
oh,
Rod.
Fuse.
Yeah. When you get to the mansion worlds and you hit about the fifth mansion world, if you don't fuse before then, when you fuse together, you know, we know from the book you're given a new name, right? Because you're a new creature. You go from being a totally finite being, right, to a Marantia status being, which is no longer just finite, right? It's got a part of the Father fragment involved in it. So when those two fuse together, you become what? Super personal, and you become a real Son of God.
Okay, when what two come together?
Your personality and the Father fragment.
And the Father fragment.
And the Father
fragment. Which is pre-personal.
Which is pre-personal.
Okay.
And then it goes in ways not altogether comprehensible by man, because we don't understand the fusion process in this form, right? When we actually fuse with the adjuster, then it will be comprehensible to us, right? So
you can't know what you don't know.
You can't know what you haven't experienced, right? Okay. Let's go on with more on this same paragraph, and then we're going to have to end for tonight. Deity is characterized by the quality of unity, actual potential in all supermaterial levels of reality, thus unifying quality at best comprehended by creatures as divinity. Okay, you could spend 2 days just on this paragraph, this on this sentence, but I'm going to make it real short and simple as far as I can. Okay? When it says that deity is characterized by the quality of unity, in other words, deity is characterized by how much God the Father's will is involved in it, whether it's his actual will or his potential will of things to come in the future. Okay? Now, how can you also take this? You can take the potential of that of like the unqualified absolute. The qualified absolute is not a deity-based organism. It's part of God the Father, okay? But it has potential of growth in the seven, in the four outer space levels, okay? So it's a unity of both the actual deity part of God plus the potential of all that is to come in the future, right? So you add the quality of the unity of the actual and potential, and it reacts on all level super, notice it says all super material levels of reality. And that includes not only the seven super universes, but it includes all four of the outer space levels. So
All that
potential is in the outer space levels. Right. And out in all four of those outer space levels is the unqualified absolute. And the workers of the unqualified absolute is the absonite beings, okay, which live in Havona, right? They also live in paradise. They also live in the four outer space levels, okay? So, and we're going to talk about that in great detail a little bit later, but what they're talking about here is the deity takes the actual and the potential and adds them together, and they become a super material level of reality, which we don't even know yet. The people that teach us this don't even know it yet, right? It's what's to come. And then they go on in the last part of this, and they said, and this unifying quality is best comprehended by creatures, which is us, finite beings, as divinity, okay? Not just deity, but divinity. It's the mixture of both the actual and potential which makes it divine, okay? Now, I want to mention one other thing here before I get off of this and we close tonight. This divinity they're talking about, this mixing the actual and potential, works on the local universe level also in what? the Creator Sons, the divinity of the Creator Son. Because the Creator Son and the local universe Mother Spirit have actual deity, right? They're our deity, but they also have potential divinity in that which they create and that everything incoming in the future. Make sense?
That does make sense.
Does that unmuck some of the mucked part about that?
Yeah, you want to go over it again one more time?
That's a hard one. That's one of the very hardest paragraphs we're going to have in this forward.
So isn't it, it's a measurement. It's kind of like, you know, God betting on us with potential.
That's right.
All that into it.
In God's mind,
it's already
actual, yeah. Right? In God's mind, it's already happened. It's just the time.
For us, it's potential.
But for us, it's potential. For the unqualified absolute, it's the potential.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. To God the Father, the I am, it's actual. It already is. Right? Okay.
It's all out there waiting to be used.
It's all out there waiting to be used. Now, it's 8 o'clock, and I told y'all we're going to quit after 1 hour tonight, and that's what we're going to do. So any questions on this before we quit, we'll take it up from Deity Functions next time. Okay? Any questions about what we've covered tonight?
I'll think about it, and I might have a question next week.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds good.
Really?
Now, y'all keep in mind, we're trying to combine the 11-week course and the forward stuff in one teachings here. So it's a little difficult to comprehend it all. But we're doing it the right direction, doing it this way. And try to make it as simple as possible. I hope y'all enjoy it, you know. If I'm going to continue teaching y'all, I want to teach y'all something new that you're going to grasp, you know, and benefit. Not just rehashing the same old thing, right?
When you speak of the 11-week course, is this something that the Urantia Foundation offers?
No. It's in our videos out there, Millie, and the videos, the quality of the videos aren't great, but the content's good. It was the 11-week course we had at Rodney, and you can find those on our Vimeo site, and you can also find them on YouTube.
Okay.
On the YouTube link, if you go to all of our videos, and I'll send you that again if you need it. I send it out by an email. You can click on the all videos link, and it'll show you a list of all my videos I posted out there. And the 11-week course was called the Universe Reality Course. And it was based on the universe reality, Don Estes' universe reality chart.
You know, all the charts set up in Rodney's room.
At Rodney's house. I thought you came to that, Millie. Maybe you didn't, because it was every weekend for 11 weeks, I think it was. So, and you can't watch it just for the videos, because the videos are not that great. You know, they're a little bit fuzzy. But if you listen to it and watch it, you'll benefit from it, because I've listened to all 11 of them twice now since we done it. And there is a lot of good information out there on it. It's really a question answer as much as anything by all the people that participated. Jill was with us back then. It's before he went to France. He asked a lot of questions. Don asked, just about everybody asked questions, a lot of questions. So, yeah. So, It's a good thing to listen to, but don't listen but one at a time. There's 11 of them. Your brain will explode if you try to listen to more than one at a time. So, but it's good information. It's a good preparation for the forward. And a lot of the same information we're going to cover in this forward this time. So, and however long it takes us to get through this, it'll just take us. You know, it might take us 10 or 11 meetings to get through this. So that'd be fine. You want me to send you that link again, Millie?
I can find it on our webpage if it's on our webpage.
It's on our webpage. If you go to the left-hand side down the menu, you'll see YouTube videos. Just click on the one that says YouTube videos. There's all the individual videos listed there. But there's one that says YouTube videos, and I believe there's a link that says Universe Reality. You can click on either one of that, and it'll take you right to it. Okay. And I think
I go to that list on the left frequently.
Yeah.
When I want to go back to a paper and see what we said in the lessons in the study group.
Well, out of our while we on been on break for the last month, I added links for every single paper down the left hand side of our main pages for both the Vimeo videos and the YouTube videos. So if you keep scrolling down, you'll see both Vimeo and video and YouTube both of all the videos. So if you want to just you know go to a paper or a study, they're all there. There's 300 and something videos we've done.
I could spend the rest of my life doing that.
Yeah. You really? You could. All right. So let's have
it goes on and on. There's no stopping place. It just goes one after the other. And finally, you have to say, turn this thing off.
Yeah.
Get up and move.
Yeah. All right. Let's have a little prayer and we'll close for tonight. Rodney, you want to close this in prayer? Rodney, I'm so glad you got to join us tonight. It's unreal. So,
I'm here, but I'm going to pass on the prayer.
Oh, okay.
I'm not thinking real well.
All right.
You scrambled our brain. You're telling me I was probably there when we did the 11-week course, and I might have been.
Yeah, I don't
remember. It's not in the computer.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for revealing more information or more our minds perceiving more information as a result of listening to the forward. And as Roger makes it more understandable and pounds it into our head. Thank you for helping us to see beyond what really seems to be into understanding this and incorporating it into our own thinking, our daily thinking, and expanding our awareness of the incredible plan that you have for us and have had for us. And we are such fortunate souls that we have this opportunity to learn this now before we make our ascent at the end of this particular career, part of our career. Thank you, and help us to see beyond the clouds and for the truth to emerge and the concepts to emerge and to become part of our everyday thinking. Yes, thank you. In your name, Jesus Christ, Michael of Nebanon, we give thanks. Amen.
Amen. And thank you again for those at home joining us and those joining us via the videos. See you next time.